This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. What does it mean to be a citizen? Legally, of course, the qualifications for citizenship and the rights and responsibilities that go along with it are clearly defined. But a new production from Carolina Performing Arts showcases the many and varied ways that citizenship is actually experienced. Stories on Citizenship features people from campus and the community who share their stories through performance, song, and storytelling. We're going to hear a couple of those stories shortly, but first up is the organizer of the event. Amanda Graham is the Associate Director of Engagement for Carolina Performing Arts. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you so much.
Tell me more about this, Stories on Citizenship. What is it?
Sure. So Stories on Citizenship, the subtitle for it is Convening to Connect the Campus and the Community. And so it is meant to do just that, and then it's an opportunity for new UNC students and UNC students who have been there for a number of years to get to know the landscape of the Chapel Hill community beyond the confines of the campus.
And why citizenship? Why is that a way to do this?
That's a way to do this because it is one of our themes at Carolina Performing Arts this season. So we are examining citizenship, community, and also what it means to make in a collaborative space together. So because it's a theme of our season, this is the engagement, what we're calling the engagement launch for our season. And it was a way for us to work together with community groups, with nonprofits who we have relationships with, in order for them to define what citizenship means to them.
Going into this, because it's an interesting concept, we think of community and use the phrase all the time, and I think we know what we mean when we say community. But citizenship is a very particular kind of community, isn't it? It's an odd form.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just because, you know, you belong necessarily. Maybe you don't, you mm-hmm. know, and you may have been born here. And there are other people who we leave out because they're not defined who might well belong. So what were you thinking? What were the thoughts going into this? I know you're wanting to receive surprises.
Mm-hmm.
But what were your thoughts going in about what citizenship meant and why that would be a great topic?
We're interested right now in art and performance that activates the audience so that the audience is a part of the performance. They're not a passive viewer. They're also an active maker. And we think that's true when it comes to citizenship as well, that you have to take agency and make choices and involve yourself in civic discourse.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Amanda Graham of Carolina Performing Arts. Carolina Performing Arts has launched their new season with an event called Stories on Citizenship. It's happening at Current Art Space and Studio in Chapel Hill on Saturday, September 8th. And joining the conversation now is one of the MCs of that event. Raymond Tu is a student at UNC and a member of UNC's advocacy group, Campus Y. Raymond, welcome. Good to have you here.
Hi, thanks.
How do you see yourself fitting into this conversation?
Yeah, so I'm a Canadian, and I'm a sophomore at UNC, so obviously I'm not a citizen of the U.S., but I've sort of found my way into the community because of my story, I think. My family is originally from Vietnam, but my dad's side of the family is originally from China, so they fled China during the Sino-Japanese War into Vietnam as refugees, and then my mom and dad also fled from Vietnam to Canada as refugees during the Vietnam War. And now, fittingly, I'm working on a project for water sanitation and hygiene for refugee camps and ultimately improving the environmental conditions there.
And you yourself are in some ways dislocated, albeit a little more voluntary.
Right.
Because
you
chose to come here. So dislocation, if not necessarily refugee, is certainly a part of your story.
Absolutely.
And again, citizenship is very particular. You know, you get it whether you engage or not. You can be a citizen if you legally qualify.
Right.
And then you either are, you know, participate or don't. How do you think about this legal concept of citizenship, given your family's history and your personal history of moving around?
Yeah, I think that the legal concept isn't necessarily as important in my view, in my story, just because I think that being a citizen is so much more than the paperwork, the legality of all of it. I think it's about being engaged in the community, providing service, and just overall helping out in the community.
And then this project you're involved in Jordan, the research
yes.
in Jordan. Tell me more about that.
Yeah. So we have interviewed over this past summer, not me personally, but my team has interviewed a group of refugees in Jordan. and we are trying to figure out better ways of improving the sanitation conditions there, just so they have better and clean access to clean water.
And what has it meant to you in terms of your own research and what you've discovered along the way?
Yeah. Well, for me personally, I've always thought of research as like numbers and data points and statistics. But after working on this project, I've really come to know the faces behind the stories behind these numbers and these data points. I think it's really important to see that research is also very human, can be really human.
You also had the opportunity to do research in Vietnam, right?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So this past summer, I had the opportunity to go to Vietnam, Hanoi, Vietnam, to work on an HIV/AIDS project at the intersection of HIV treatment as well as mental health. And I worked and interviewed personally in Vietnamese men who have sex with men as well as transgender women, because those are populations that are sort of at risk of HIV/AIDS. And so we talked with them and we try to get them to tell us their stories as well and how we can better improve the conditions there.
Now, I don't know how it is in Vietnam, but those are communities that can be outside of, community, sent out of community. Is that the case there?
Definitely. It's improving. I think it's improving all around the world, but there's a long ways to go.
So again, as you think about it, and tell me about your activism, about Campus Y and your engagement with that group.
Sure. So as a freshman last year, I started off joining the Criminal Justice Awareness and Action Committee. And that was a new concept to me because in Canada we don't have the death penalty. It's not sort of as large of a racial issue as it is here. And I thought it would be something of a learning opportunity for me to join this committee.
Yeah, I want to get back to this notion, though, this legal distinction, which is so fascinating when you think about membership and belonging, right? We talked about, this personality test just a minute ago where we want to see if you fit in the group. So we're going to take the measure of your personality. Right. And the point of that is to see if you fit in our group, right? And there's this kind of testing that's very acute and directed at getting you. And then citizenship, like you're born here and you may or may not fit. We have a lot of people who, wish hadn't been born here because honestly, they don't fit. But we're stuck with them. And so it's interesting to me that you're engaging in a social activist project in a country in which you're not a citizen.
Right, yeah.
What's that like? I mean, what does that mean to you?
I think it means a lot to me because it just sort of reaffirms this notion of citizenship in my head that you don't really need to be a member of an actual American to be engaged in the U.S. and engaged in your local communities.
Well, Amanda, I want to ask you a question from Carolina Performing Arts. This is a collaboration with students and the community, so that's another important part of this whole process and the production, right? Tell us more.
Absolutely. This has been a collaborative process since the beginning. And so there are a number of community groups who all really define and participate in citizenship differently. So Immersion for Spanish Language Acquisition, the Marian Cheek Jackson Center, Student Action with Farm Workers, El Centro Hispano, who you'll hear from in just a minute, and also the Community Empowerment Fund. And each of these groups represents what it means to take action in a different way. And so at Stories on Citizenship, the first hour, there are going to be short 10-minute performances by each of these groups, and they're going to be telling their own stories in their own way. So I'm excited to hear from them. There's going to be a variety of formats, from kind of a more theatrical format to a more traditional storytelling format to song and dance. And that is something new for us at CPA, to think through the artistic life of Chapel Hill. We often bring in international performing artists, and this is a moment for us to think about how art is related to our everyday.
Well, let's get another example of that right here on this program. The new season at Carolina Performing Arts kicks off September 8th with an event called Stories on Citizenship. It's at Current Art Space and Studio in Chapel Hill. And joining us now from the nonprofit organization El Centro Hispano is Anna Johnson. She is coordinator of the Center for Employment and Leadership there at El Centro. And she's also going to read a short story at the event. Anna, welcome. Good to have you here.
good to be here.
Tell us about your work at El Centro Hispano. What do you do there?
So currently I'm a coordinator, like you mentioned, at El Centro Hispano. And El Centro works to strengthen the community, build bridges, and advocate for equity and inclusion for Latinos and Hispanics in the area of the Triangle in North Carolina. And the vision of El Centro is to strengthen the relationship with Latinos and North Carolina.
Well, tell us your story and how you got to North Carolina. It's an interesting story.
Well, yeah. I'm from Argentina. I was born there. I spent most of my life there. And then I met a wonderful person that made me the offer to come and live in the States. I've been living in the States for 1 year. And as an immigrant myself and being a part of this new community, I can say what you were saying about citizenship. And it's the word engagement is the one that resonates the most, and it's about doing something for somebody else in need and just hoping for a more social well-being.
Did that word resonate with you when you first got here? I mean, you're coming from another place. You're in, suddenly find yourself in North Carolina. Was engagement the first thing you thought of?
Not really. Personally, because in my own family, politics was something we always run away from. We didn't want to hear. We didn't want to be a part of it. So I came here and I said, like, I this is not my business. This is not something that resonates with me. But then I started seeing the decisions that there were being made and say, hey, I don't agree with this. This is not something that goes in line with my own personal mission in life. So that's why I think that I changed my mind and I decided to take a more active role in citizenship. And Amanda's offered to come and let us share a story and actually redefine the idea of citizenship. It was just gold at that time.
Now, let me take you back, though. In Argentina, I have to guess that there were things that were happening that you didn't approve of. Maybe you did. But if there were things that you and your family didn't approve of, but you're saying there, you know, it was just not wise to participate. You brought that with you. Now you come here and there are things you don't approve of. And you have, to some degree, even less standing, right? Because officially you're not a citizen. What do you think it was that turned you and said, in this case now, I need to get engaged?
I think I felt more empowered here. I'm from Buenos Aires. It's a really big city and you can lose yourself in numbers. And it seemed at the time that I didn't have a voice. And I came in here and I joined El Centro Hispano. It's an organization that they have such a strong voice. And I get to talk to policemen here and I get to talk. We're taking a citizen academy and at the sheriff office. And people actually listen to and they respond to what we need. And I never felt that way.
Tell us about those conversations that you've had in the community with police and employers and others that made you feel that you had more power here.
Well, it was always very welcoming. Just like they always remind us that they're here for just to make sure that we're okay and to take care of our safety. And that was their priority.
So you've had those conversations. What about employment? And that's how does El Centro and what is your job in terms of acting as a liaison? What do you do?
So what we do right now, I'm coordinating this program, is we become a bridge between workers and jobs. So we allocate them different jobs, but it's not just sending them to a job. We prepare them. We help them make their resume, their cover letter. We train them in different skills that are on demand on the market right now. And once they get a job, we ask them, okay, you have the money now. What are you going to do with that? So we offer financial training for them so they can keep growing in this community.
And do employers come to you to ask? I mean, you talk about a bridge. Are you there just at the intake level for people who are looking for jobs or employers looking to you?
So it works both ways. We have people that come looking for job, and we have an increasing number of employers coming to El Centro to look for workers.
What about citizenship? Is that something, U.S. citizenship, would that be something that's important to you now?
Well, at this point, what we do is our doors are open to anybody. So anybody can come that are in need for work, and we'll be there to help them.
What kind of, Amanda, voices are you hearing? As I say, you probably had a vague idea about what it was you were going to see and hoping for surprises. As this project and production came together, what has surprised you? What have been some of the more interesting features, apart from what we've just heard, beyond that really piqued your imagination?
So many. The Chapel Hill community is so rich. I love, for instance, the Jackson Center. They are a nonprofit that is really premised on preserving the stories of the Northside community in Chapel Hill. And at Stories on Citizenship, they're going to have a couple of elders from the Northside community who are going to be telling their stories, but in response to oral histories that have been collected. So in other words, first, the archive oral history will play and everybody will hear it. And then the individual whose voice that you just heard will be present and they'll be in conversation with themselves about their own story, reflecting on their lives. And I think that that format, you know, that sort of reflectiveness in the moment brings a particular kind of liveness to it that a moderated conversation, for instance, or a presentation would not.
And this also, if you think about it, you're Carolina Performing Arts, after all, and this recontextualizes the whole notion of art, it seems to me. How do you see this as an art form?
It certainly does. I think this is definitely something that Carolina Performing Arts is working towards. As you noted, this event, Stories on Citizenship, is taking place in Current, which is a new venue for us. It just opened up in February, and it's not on the campus proper. It's very close to the campus. It's right off of Franklin Street. And all of the performances that we have in Current are meant to engage with the community. So really, they all involve active participation. And this is sort of an extension of what's going on in our season with the performances.
And I understand that beyond the performance, there's a dinner involved in this, right?
Absolutely. I'm very excited about that, mostly because the dinner just sounds so yummy. But it's going to be catered by Vimala's Curry Blossom Cafe. And Chef Vimala will be there. And she will be telling her own story of citizenship, which is really fascinating, over dinner about the social justice mission of her restaurant. So it's just an opportunity. It's free. It's open to the public. It's just a time for people to come together and to think a little bit more deeply about what citizenship might mean to them and perhaps to connect to somebody they might not otherwise.
Raymond, too, what are you hoping people will take away from this whole event and from your story in particular?
I hope that someone out there, someone in the audience, finds sort of inspiration from it and goes out in the community and engages with the community members as well.
Anna, how about you?
Well, I think there are plenty of opportunities to collaborate with all these organizations, including El Centro Hispano. So my idea, my hope is for people to know what we're doing and then come to us and start building bridges.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of you for being on our program. Amanda Graham is the Associate Director for Engagement at Carolina Performing Arts. Raymond Tu, a student at UNC and one of the MCs for Stories on Citizenship. Anna Johnson works for El Centro Hispano, which is she's a coordinator for the Center of Employment and Leadership there. I want to thank all of you for being here on the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
And also, Stories on Citizenship happens Saturday. It is September 8th at the Current Art Space and Studio in Chapel Hill. We've got details on our website, stateofthings.org. Just a reminder, tomorrow, the Political Junkie is here, and there's plenty to talk about. We will certainly talk about those Senate confirmation hearings. Brett Kavanaugh, they opened with a bang. Is it just political theater? And what will it amount to? Will any of the politics and conversation carry over to November? Political Junkie is here to talk about that. And, of course, Bob Woodward's new book that takes an inside look at the Trump White House. And we've got the music of H.C. McIntyre, all that tomorrow on The State of Things. But there's more just ahead on this program. We will learn about a new exhibition at the Nasher that celebrates typically overlooked artists. That's coming up. People get ready. Stay tuned.